Jordan, Jack, and Liam, thanks so much for coming to North State Public Radio today.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So this first question is kind of for Jack, but I want you to tell us kind of the story of leaving the Mondo Greens and beginning to pursue your own project here with this trio.
Yeah, okay. So it was December 2016. I played my last show with the Mondo Greens. You know, we were Chica's beloved boy band, one might say. But yeah, I played my last show with them then, and I started writing and making demos for my new album, Some for Jack, Some for Jesus, which we've been celebrating with shows this weekend. And I knew I needed to play with, you know, I couldn't do it alone. I found out pretty quickly I wasn't going to be able to do it all by myself. So I was like, all right, I need some more players. I went and put up flyers at the UW Music department, and that's how I caught Liam. He saw one of those. He called me up. He came over, and we hit it off right away. I just started playing cover songs together. And then Jordan, we both got a gig playing for like little toddlers, like a educational music class. He was drumming, I was playing guitar. There's a keyboard player as well. It's a trio. So we met playing that music, that like curriculum, and eventually started playing, you know, my own stuff. And actually, you know, our other collaborator, Emily, we started learning her songs as well outside because we liked playing with each other.
And how long have you all individually lived in Seattle for now?
Oh, I grew up in that area, so
yeah.
I moved away from home for a little bit, you know, went to the East Coast and, you know, New York and Chicago, and pretty much born and raised in the Seattle area. So
I was born in Seattle, mostly reside in Kitsap County across the water, so Kitsap represent. But yeah, it's nice to be in the city for school at UW. It's where everything's going on, so a lot of fun.
And how would you describe the city as far as like a good place to be a musician and compared to other cities?
I think there's a lot of opportunity there in Seattle. You gotta hustle for it, especially these days. You know, I think it's easy. It's such a bustling city. I think most people, including myself, like once I'm home, like I'm like, all right, cool, I'm home. Like I don't have to like deal with like the big city, like getting out to shows and stuff. Like it takes a big effort to like do live music there, but it happens a lot. And there's like, you know, a lot of like funding and support for the arts there. So it's there.
Definitely.
But you gotta hustle a little bit for it. It's a good city. What do you guys think?
Yeah, it's growing a lot. You know, I've watched it the last like 10 years or so. You know, a lot of transplants, a lot of people moving there. So the economy is good, but a lot of musicians and artists are moving to that area now because there's opportunity. And it's competitive, but there's still space for you. It's not like LA or New York or something, or Nashville, where it's, you know. So Seattle's kind of working its way up to that. So I think it's going to expand for a long time for musicians. It's a good thing.
Nice. And I wanted to talk about the album Some for Jack, Some for Jesus. I was reading in Chico News and Review about how a theme of the album is kind of just examining what is good, what does it mean to be good, and I thought that was really interesting. So I was hoping you could tell our listeners a little bit about that and some of the inspirations behind the album.
Yeah, that was like a theme I discovered in that interview, maybe. Like, I guess I just, I don't know. I guess it's just the songs just come from different places of my life and different times a little bit. You know, some of the songs I wrote up to 3 years ago, maybe, and then about half of them happened like last year. I wrote them for the album. And so, you know, as I was going through like big changes, I got married and I left my band, and I was just thinking a lot about like, you know, what it means to be happy, like what it means to be doing really well in life, like what makes me like a good person. I don't know what I was just questioning, like, what am I doing here, you know? And I think, you know, mostly the songs are, it's like all like questions, you know. I didn't necessarily like find any answers or discover any, you know, have any big epiphanies, but I took the time to like ruminate on some of these, you know, questions you have in life, and you know, where are you going? You know, I'm having my late 20s crisis or whatever that it seems like a lot some of my friends are having here my age as well, you know, like leaving my delayed adolescence and trying to be an adult. So yeah.
And the production of this album, it kind of began as something you were self-producing, I think, and then did you kind of shift into working with getting help from other producers, or how did that work?
I did this thing front to back. I did it all. So I did have one friend come in, a mix engineer, and you know, he helped me do some heavy lifting in the mixing process, but I ended up finishing it myself. So what that looked like, Jordan and I, we did drums. We actually mobile recorded them. We went to an elementary school I work at up in Seattle on a Saturday, went to their cafeteria with a big stage, used like a really large space, got all the drums in one big session. And then over the next few months, you know, Liam was coming in. We just did overdubs like as we needed. You know, it was a big learning process for me. I think my head was totally mostly in that space. I'm like learning how to, like, all right, how do you put a record together? You know, what needs to happen to make the song, you know, realize the songs that I could hear in my head. So we did drums first, and then over the next few months, like bass, and overdubbed the vocals, and I did all the guitars and keyboards. And yeah, it came together, and I mixed it all together, and there it was.
And you said it was kind of a learning experience. What would you say was like one of the biggest takeaways, or, you know, learning moments that you had through this experience of putting this album together?
I think I definitely was reminded of the value of, having your band together and doing basic tracks with your band together. I think I could have saved myself a lot of time had I, like, you know, got these guys together, spent a lot of time rehearsing the basic tracks and doing them all at once. You know, what we did do, it was separate. And I think it's a challenge to go back and review your work and add something on top, I guess. You know, I'm realizing what the kind of quality I look for is, you know, the musicianship in the room, and really trying to nail that down next time. I look forward to doing that. Yeah.
And take us through kind of the process of fleshing these songs out with the trio, kind of getting ready for the tour. Because are the songs pretty much kind of pretty well established before you start kind of, you know, rehearsing, or, you know, what sort of collaborative process happens preparing for this tour that you just finished?
Well, we did the record first. That was kind of I chose to do that order. I'd never done it before that way. So I really focused on, I finished the album, and those were the templates, you know, the recorded songs. It was like, boom, here we are. We need to learn these and find a way to, you know, honor them live, especially since as a trio, you know, we don't have the keyboards or the second guitars and stuff. You know, I definitely just let myself have a lot of fun with overdubs and like instrumentation on the album. So we had to find a way to fill out the whole song just with each other, which was just eventually, you know, weekly rehearsal.
Weekly grind, you know, work out the kinks and fill out the sound, totally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do you guys want to add anything else to that? Our process, you remember what? I don't know.
Well, it's kind of like now we're at the point where, you know, we're dialed in together. We've worked out the kinks in some of the songs and added things. It's almost like it would be nice to record where we're at with the music now, you know. Mm-hmm. We kind of jumped into it and it was a creating fresh process, and then it's like now we're refining it. So it's exciting to see the evolution, but that's what it takes. It takes time to form it and then, you know, build that chemistry.
And last night at the show, you guys did a couple covers. We heard Mother Hip's awesome rock song, and then also a Led Zeppelin song.
Yeah.
What were the conversations like, kind of choosing those as, you know, the two covers of the night?
It happened naturally over, kind of as we rehearsed every week.
We had to weed out a couple of other cover options that. Weren't going to be as. Is good.
it's fitting the trio thing. It's like, okay, you know, you want to do the song justice. You want to serve it, you know. Make it your own a little bit, but, you know, it's a balance.
Not have too much fun.
Yeah, so what's cool about playing with these guys, they're so great at, you know, their instruments that I can just throw, like, musical challenges at them just, and I'd, like, see what happens, you know. So while we were rehearsing, like, for instance, one of my songs is like in 5/4, kind of a challenge to play, like, but, you know, they can knock it out of the park. Like, I do some other you know, weird time signature stuff throughout the album, and that, you know, they were right on it. I don't know, I guess the Mother Hip song, I knew I wanted to include them on the set. I listened to their one of their albums a lot while I was making mine, kind of as a reference, Pacific Dust. And then the Zeppelin song was just like, all right, I needed to give Jordan something to just, like, you know, just go off on. And that, you know, that has like a pretty complicated rhythm to it. And it was just a chance for us to, there's a lot of improvisation in our set, mm-hmm. which I really mm-hmm. liked how we kind of carved out space to, like, don't know what's going to happen tonight, but we'll find out, like, when it goes down.
Yeah. A lot of that, I feel like, comes from the process of creating the album where, for me especially, like, kind of thrown in the studio with the basic idea of the songs without actually, like, having a rehearsed part yet, and like mm-hmm. a lot of the takes were kind of just like
experimenting,
you know, figuring out the part as I'm playing the take. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the same for Jordan as well. Mm-hmm. And so, like, getting the album out there and the parts being down out in the world, kind of set in stone, and then taking that and, like, it's like three layers over of just revisions and improvising and structured parts.
Yeah.
So now that this run of shows is done, is it time to start, you know, putting new songs together for the next album, or have you already started doing that?
We have not started that yet. We were really focused on these shows, this tour. You know, it takes a lot to get people in the car and to travel. I have ideas for my next songs and, you know, what it might sound like, and to try, like, a new process too mm-hmm. with these guys. But at the moment, we're looking at just booking a couple more shows, probably locally in Seattle, and, working on these songs a little bit more and, seeing how it goes from there. But, yeah, I look forward to making another one soon.
Nice. And I just have two questions left. We're going to ask you about the song in just a minute that you played today. But my first question is, what's sort of the best songwriting tip you've ever gotten, or just piece of musical advice that kind of changed the way you approach music? And this is for everyone. It could be a different answer for everyone in the band.
Mm-hmm. Since we were talking about the Mother Hips and Tim Bloom, I got this information secondhand from him. But my sister Beth, I remember she told me a conversation she had with him about songwriting and how, you know, a song, it just has to be about one thing, you know, and just kind of describing it as like a singularity, you know, it's this one idea that, you know, the whole song and all everything that it sounds like, kind of thinking about it as just like this one singular entity, and all you have to do is just like honor that entity. Like, you don't have to like make it complicated. I don't know. You don't have to do this or that. You just have to be like, all right, you know, this is what feels natural. And like, this is, this is what the song is. So I think I used that throughout this process. You know, I didn't have to agonize over all my songs because I was like, oh, you know, this feels right over here. Perfect. We're going to do it that way. You know, we let things happen like organically and mm-hmm. as we went.
Be a little flexible, you know.
Yeah.
The process, totally.
Yeah. You guys feeling it?
If my tip.
Yeah. You got anything?
Yeah, I guess I should have something as a music ed major. That's what I study at school. But yeah, I like that concept of like honoring one thing. I guess these days I'm primarily a jazz musician, and I think I really enjoy playing standards. And with those standards, it's all about honoring that one thing, the tune. You know, having mm-hmm. having that come through and doing your best to communicate the essence of it. And that's yeah. where, you know, if once you have the essence, you can expand on that and elaborate in different ways, but it kind of all comes back to that main focus.
Yeah For me, it's like you know, on a personal note, it's the consistency of practice and, you know, discipline with the metronome and just like going to work or other things you do. I mean, you know, if you can on a daily basis almost put a little bit of time into your craft, into your passion, eventually you'll accumulate those hours and that mastery and that professionalism will come out and it'll be natural for you. It's not forced, it's not pushed. So for me, it's just been years of staying true and consistent to what I'm doing, and repetition adds up after time. And then through that, when you jump into new projects like with Jack, it's like you're, you know, marrying your own creative voice and your style that you've been cultivating, but then tastefully morphing it into someone else's music and their concepts and bringing that together. So it's like you can be you, but you can also serve the music and serve this thing that you're, you know, joining into. So that's been a fun process. And as we continue to play together, like that relationship expands more and more and it becomes more and more fun. Yeah. And it's felt when you play live and you perform, people can see that shining through mm-hmm. the band, and it really changes the room. So I notice that in other, you know, musical stuff that I do too. So that's my advice.
Nice.
Well, my last question is about the song you played for us in the studio today. Actually, just yesterday, I got to listen to the whole album like 5 times all the way through just to prepare for the show last night.
Nice.
And Someone Like You was like my favorite song on the album, so I'm really glad you chose that one. But what can you tell us about that song? What's it called first, and what can you tell us about it?
The song we played today is called Someone Like You. It's about, you know, being young, not knowing what you want, not knowing how to be happy and content, and you kind of, and therefore you go out and do all this crazy stuff and you travel and like, and you party or whatever, you know. I think it's a common experience to, look externally and look for like, oh man, big exciting things to, you know, I don't know, make yourself happy. But, and I did all that stuff, but what I realized in the end was, you know, I had a beautiful woman who loved me, my wife, and, you know, most of my happiness was coming from that. So it's kind of about, you know, you're looking everywhere for something only to find someone like you, or, you know, and it's that like special someone that, you know, hopefully we all get to have one day. And just realizing that and honoring that and kind of putting my time and energy into that more than these external, quote unquote, exciting things on, you know, things that look exciting on social media, but really aren't like feeding my soul like, you know, my marriage does. So, yeah.
A Jedi craves not these things.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, Jordan, Jack, and Liam, thank you so much for coming to North State Public Radio today.
Thank you for having us, Nolan.
It's been fun. Thank you.